Good morning. Hope you're enjoying your Palm Sunday service. I would like to throw down a controversial gauntlet. I love Christmas and I love Easter. Nothing says the season of hope like Easter for me, and I'm sure we could all use that right now. But that is not where we are just yet. Palm Sunday is neither Easter nor Christmas. For me, talking on Palm Sunday is like drawing the short straw. I mean, you guys have heard the readings. Jesus is doing miracles. He's doing good deeds. He's taking care of people. He's righting wrongs. The crowds are exhausting, but he's building momentum. And all the while, people are trying to kill him. Jesus rode that colt over those palms. He entered the temple. Later, he entered the garden. Then he entered a jail. And then finally he walked a horrible walk with a cross on his back so that we could live free, full lives. And I'm not even trying to make you feel guilty. Those are just the facts. For me, the events associated with the words Palm Sunday are dark. Reading and reflecting on this story is like sitting in the dark and waiting for the light to come. But actually, maybe that's exactly where we are right now. We have been living the short straw and the hard sell day after day of this COVID lockdown winter. We're so close to Easter and fewer restrictions, but we're not there just yet. I knew in my bones when we were locked down in January that we weren't getting out till Easter. I could see the weeks of wet, dark nights, frustrated family members, and fear of sickness lying ahead. I felt empty, like my barrel of silver linings, hope, and patience that I'd been reaching into all of 2020 to keep myself going was running real low. And that got me thinking, knowing as Jesus did, what was about to happen to him. How did he put one foot in front of the other and go through with it? And that's what we're going to talk about today. I think he did it because he had a very clear sense of purpose. And I think he did it with prayer. If you've read the Bible, then you will know Jesus prayed. If you haven't read the Bible, I'll tell you, he prayed all the time. I don't think I realized before what a big part of the Bible prayer is. I always just thought it was something that Christians should do. Prayer is a huge part of the Bible and a significant instrument in Jesus's ministry. It's powerful and effective because it creates the connection for relationship. In our house, we call prayer talking to God. As adults, we know it's a lot more than that. It isn't just talking, or it isn't always talking. There's no right way to pray. It looks different for different people. That diversity of communication styles is a strength. It creates a richness that isn't possible otherwise. Recently, I've been encouraged by listening to the prayers of others in our services, the unique meditations of David and Francis and Janet in the Lent series, and my kids' bedtime prayers. Totally different, all valuable and authentic. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was having a tough day. I was burnt out, my work was going nowhere, and homeschool had pushed me over the edge again. So I went upstairs to my bedroom to have a screen break. As I walked through the door of my room, the view out the window grabbed me. I sat down on the edge of the bed and just stared out the window. I know God was there with me in that room. Everything was quiet. I know God and I were talking, but it didn't have words. Like Job and his friends, I sat quietly with God and the sunset, the beautiful woven ripples of pink cotton candy stretching across the sky. Time with God and talking to God are nurturing, restorative, and strengthening. It doesn't always have words. Time in God's space through a specific activity, prayer or meditation, or time in nature is so important because it takes our focus off of us and it puts it back on God. To be clear, this refocusing to God is not a tool that God uses to control or compel us to conform. God gives of himself to fill us up so that we can put one foot in front of the other in our current circumstances. Ultimately, so we can be the best version of ourselves. In those moments, when we are reaching out to God in connection, you are not a mistake that needs fixed. You are a seed that is growing. We've looked as a church a lot at relationship with God through the Job series and through some of the talks on Revelations that we've had this year. There are some really beautiful and thought-provoking messages from Stephen and Douglas and Fiona, painting a picture of that quiet togetherness a long-standing relationship maintains. My first question, to you for reflection is, where or how do you enter God's space? What does that look like for you? Just something to think about. It may be different from the other people in your house. It may be different from your friends. Praying is not always easy, but it's good. It can realign our focus to where it needs to be and give us space to try again. We see throughout the New Testament, Jesus's relationship and connection with God gave him comfort and strength and courage. The constant communication in their relationship also meant he had a clear understanding of his purpose and vision. In the first lockdown, some scientists were sending a new rover to Mars. I know it's hard to believe. The Perseverance rover launched from Florida on the 30th of July, 2020, and it landed nearly 7 months later on Mars on the 21st of February of this year. The rover is equipped with 25 cameras, as well as other instruments, and is the first robot on Mars with its own mini helicopter. So cool. The mission, among other things, will test flight capabilities around Mars and has already given us the first recording of the sound of a gentle breeze on Mars. It's pretty cool stuff. The Martian scientists were overcoming huge challenges before we added the COVID restrictions into the mix. They had a strong sense of purpose and they were committed to their goal. And the result, the end result, is inspiring. As we live in relationship with God in ourselves and God in others, we can be inspiring too. Jesus had a big picture roadmap. He knew he had to go through with Palm Sunday and Easter to get to his big picture goal. And what was that goal? Jesus came so that you and me could be in relationship with God. That's the whole point. He came so that you could be free to be you. And not some Diet Coke good person version of you either. In John 12:24, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." I used to hear that verse and think about one seed going into the ground and lots of identical seeds being made. My assumption was that the passage implied we should all put off and hate what makes us unique so that we could uniformly look like Christ. Well, I don't always get it right. This would follow with an inevitable comparison of myself with others and the feelings of not being similar enough to the better Christians. I know this is something a lot of people have thought or felt or even feel today. But I want to be clear, this is not the message I am sharing. What these verses actually warn against is people who are fine where they are. People who don't want a relationship with God or don't want to continue to grow in relationship with God. God has obviously made us all unique, as I said before, that diversity of skills, backgrounds, and fashion sense makes the church a stronger place and a more interesting place. We should learn from and celebrate God's work in and through each other. Think about Paul's description of the church as the body of Christ. Jesus's goal was to produce many seeds that would have eternity as their goal, and in that process would live life that is truly life. In John 10:10, he says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, Jesus isn't talking about the TikTok, Instagram version of ourselves, or if that's not a relevant, you don't know what those are, you can think about the Facebook version of yourself. We know that those aren't authentic reflections of our real lives. I'm talking about the unashamed, authentic, no filter, best version of you. So here's my next question. If life to the full is not about being busy or attractive or successful, what does life of the full, life to the full, mean for you? God has made you to be you. There's no one else who can do it. So in conclusion, on Palm Sunday, we have considered how Jesus kept going, putting one foot in front of the other. Easter's almost here. I feel like we can almost see the horizon of our lives coming back. Remember the connection of relationship that sustains us all. And remember, as we celebrate Easter, that Jesus did it all for you, so that God could be in relationship with you. My prayer for all of us is that we let God continue to fill us as we grow in the knowledge of Him. Thank you very much, and happy Palm Sunday.